Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Rick. Rick Morin here with Marlena Lieberg.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm not. As the time goes on here, haven't had exactly, my sleep hasn't been uninterrupted this week. It's been crazy. But we're here with Marlena at the Golden Nugget at the RSVA conference. So welcome, Marlena. I understand you arrived here yesterday.
Well, thank you, Rick. Yes, I arrived yesterday about almost 3 hours later than I was supposed to. But, hey, I'm here. And this is quite a fascinating experience.
I just want to ask you one question. Yeah. You got a bed. You got the right size bed. Right?
I did. Yeah. I did.
So, and
I did not have to share my bed with
you did better than a couple other people you know. So
yeah, I did share it with my dog.
Oh, that's great. Good.
Don't tell anybody.
Now, what's her name again? You said Nisha.
Nisha. It's a Hindi word, I'm told, uh-huh. And it means dark night. And
she's very pretty.
She is a, thank you, she said, thank you, Uncle Rick. She is a 44-pound Labrador Retriever, so I call her my pocket Brador because she's very tiny.
Yeah.
So, and
kinda
she's...
kind of like Kim's Dolly, who's tiny for a shepherd.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, actually, Kim and I compared our dogs, and Nisha is just a tiny bit tinier than little Dolly.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a wee bit.
How long have you had her?
Only since March.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I recall you with a different dog before.
Yeah, before I had Agnes, and Agnes just turned 11 on Monday, so she's home and retired with her dad.
Right. So I did the same to you that I do to Brian all the time. I redirected what you wanted
did.
To say down
you
some
did.
Other path.
You know, did.
It's just like the yin-yang show all over again.
That's right.
But anyways, you start to say this is a very fascinating thing. So.
It is. And excuse me for clearing my throat. I think I'm getting a cold. But I won't touch you, I promise. it is a very fascinating experience. Both... at the level of getting around the hotel, which is quite interesting, and this conference. This is my first Sagebrush conference. And you know what? I'm old enough to be a part of the generation that back in the day.
Now be careful here. We're all part of the same generation, I think.
I am 66 and proud of it,
okay,
kiddo.
Okay, well, I'm 61.
Actually
going to be 62 pretty soon, so we're not that far off.
When's your birthday?
April.
April what?
April 23rd.
Happy birthday, in case I forget.
Okay.
See, I got
you.
It covered.
Thank you.
That's
also Shakespeare's birthday.
I didn't know
and
that.
And it's also, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's Shirley Temple Black's birthday.
Oh,
too.
My gosh.
I'm almost certain this. I just remember that
governor of California once or something?
Well, last I knew about her, she was the ambassador to Czechoslovakia.
Oh, well, that's close to being the governor of California.
No, that just goes to professional wrestlers. You know?
Okay. Anyway, back to the topic. I'm from the days of... The only people who went into the vending program, as they referred to it back then, were the people who couldn't go to college or, you know, if you can't go to college, we'll get you a stand.
Right.
And so for the longest time, I think vendors have had such a horrible rap and very undeserved.
Right.
And I remember one day, and I'm going to stress it was one day, I worked at a stand with a friend in Alabama, because my friend Bob Schaefer in Alabama.
Right.
And I said, Bob, I want to see what it's like. I'm telling you, you couldn't pay me enough to do this every single day. My gosh. So if people out there are listening and you think, oh, vendor, let me tell you.
No, it's hard work.
It is hard work.
Now, was he provisioning food or was it just a...
No, it was food and drinks and candy and we had ovens and cookies that we had to put these, oh my God, trays of cookies in the oven and get them out before they burn and...
It must have smelled luscious.
It did, but let me tell you, by the time I got home, that glass of wine was a little better than that.
Well, I've got a daughter who's down at Disney World right now working at the college internship program. They put her into fast food, and her mother's going crazy because she's on her feet like 10 hours a day. Now, I worked at McDonald's way back when. I worked at McDonald's for like 7 years when I was going to college.
What is in a Big Mac?
Well, ask me what the 10 ingredients of a hamburger is, and I can tell you that. I'm not sure I can do the Big Mac anymore.
All right, what are the 10 ingredients of a hamburger?
Hamburger is the patty,
yes,
the bun,
yes,
the caramelization on the bun. That's
yes,
three.
That's three.
Ketchup,
four,
mustard,
five,
pickles,
six,
lots of pickles, onions,
seven,
salt, pepper,
eight, nine.
And the last ingredient you'll never guess.
Ta-da! I don't know.
TLC, tender loving.
Oh, there's nine ingredients.
No, I mean if you pulled out the McDonald's operations manual, ingredients of a hamburger.
So that's wild.
But I did that for a long time. So when my daughter calls to say, "Oh, I'm on my feet for that," I say, "Hey, good for you. It's good for you, kiddo."
Well,
but yeah, it's hard work. No, it's hard work. My dad used to run a grocery store. So.
Yeah.
And it was a small mom and pop grocery store. It's tough business, tough life. So.
Yeah, it is. And now watching the proceedings this morning, you know, that stuff they have to deal with now, accessibility to credit card, point of sale, that's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Point of sale devices. And, it's all gotten so incredibly techie. It's just fascinating. And there are people here from all over the country. I've met more very cool people. Some people are involved in ACB. Some people are involved in NFB. Some people are involved in nobody's B. But everybody here is.
And some people just have a B in their bonnet.
And some people just have a B in their bonnet. That's right. That's right. That's right. But if the listeners have an opportunity to participate in this conference at some point in the future, I really recommend it. I'm actually looking forward when we're through to going next door. They have a huge amount of vendors.
The exhibit hall is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And so I bet there's a lot of food in there.
I bet you there is, too.
I bet we can get
real
good food.
The current trend, though, in this industry is healthy food.
Yes, but that's good. I like that.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good,
don't you put down healthy food.
That's good because, you know, Brian and I went over there. We were looking for the Cheetos, couldn't find them anywhere.
Good. Yay.
You know, air popped popcorn, all that kind of stuff over there.
Oh, good. Yay.
So you're here tomorrow to speak
at
the luncheon, right?
Yes. Yes.
So tell us how that came about and what exactly you are going to be talking about. Well, the theme of the conference is innovation.
No.
No, no. It's
inspiring.
Inspiration.
No, inspiring.
Inspire. Oh,
I'm actually looking at it. Now, don't argue with me, Mr. Yin Yang.
No. I stand corrected.
It's inspiring, collaborating, and communicating.
There you go.
And I had
ICC.
That's right. And I had to look at it because I kept forgetting it, too.
That's what happens when we get to the RA.
I know. The first thing to go is the mind. Anyway, the way I got here, I think this is what happened. I was very honored to have been invited last winter to speak to the Hawaii affiliate.
You met Philo too.
Yeah, and so I met Philo. And
Philo's quite a character.
Oh my gosh.
Unfortunately, he's not here this year because of health.
I know.
But, you know,
he's
a great guy.
He's a wonderful person. And so I did my, you know, yada yada there. And a few months later, Dan Sippel contacted me, or maybe it was Artis Basin, and said, we'd like to have you speak at our lunch this summer at convention. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I have a conflict. And then right away she said, well, then we would like you to come to Sagebrush. And
cool.
So here I am. So, I'm a person who loves to inject humor. And
we were talking about that yesterday. Have you listened to the Yin Yang Show lately?
I have.
Have you heard our fits of laughter where, you know, we just can't breathe?
Yes,
so much?
And I'm
so
I have to tell you, I'm very grateful that my bathroom isn't far away from where I was.
So I'm glad that you like to inject humor. So go ahead. Go ahead. I'm listening.
So yeah. So what I'm going to do, it says in the program, I don't know where we ever got this, but it says I'm going to talk about how a positive attitude helps everybody. So that's not what I'm going to talk about.
Well, they've changed so much of the agenda. Why not? Why not?
Why not? I mean, I'll throw it in there.
So,
you know?
So the listeners are the first to know what you're really going to talk about.
That's right. Well, when I figure it out, we'll have another interview. And no, what I really want to talk about is the strength we have as people who are blind, and how important it is for us, number one, to believe in ourselves, right, and number two, to put our hands out and help other people alongside and coming along with us. And I was really interested in Katrina.
Yeah, wasn't she great?
Yeah.
She got the most applause, yeah, of anybody. She was talking about, we do a damn good job every day.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was, what a great line.
Yeah.
It was great.
And I've heard her speak before at Midyear,
yeah,
in D.C.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm going to probably share a couple of the early day Marlena stories when Marlena first started doing advocacy way back.
Now you can do that without getting yourself in trouble?
No.
Okay.
No, but, you know, hey, I'm still walking and talking. So.
If you don't tell the story, somebody else will.
That's
right.
Right. Yeah, that's, yeah, right. That's right. But, you know, I mean, there's just, I just always feel, and when I had the Marlena show on ACB Radio, the reason that I had that show for like 8 years, I guess it was, I just kept thinking to myself, if I can just reach the heart of one blind person who feels alone or feels that they can't, right, then that's why I'm here.
Right.
You know, I've had so many wonderful people in my life who have grown me up to be who I am. I mean, right, you know, Durward McDaniel being one, Reese Robron being another, and my surrogate mom after my real mom passed away, Eunice Fiorito. These are names that, right, may not mean a lot to the younger folks, but they're all blind people, and they worked hard back in the day to get us where we are now. And so I like to pay back. I like to pay it forward and try to share just belief in self and,
right, exactly,
and just try it. Just go out and do it, you know?
Yeah.
I like to say I've never gotten so lost that I haven't been able to find myself. So, right, you know, just go try it. So
yeah,
that's kind of it.
Well, it's so interesting, too. When we get to this stage of our lives, you know, you look back at things, it's like, wow, you know? I mean, it's just,
yeah,
so you,
yeah,
know, it's there, you know, perspectives on things are just so different. But,
yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, tell me, I mean, how long have you been around ACB?
Let's see. I think since 72.
Okay.
So yeah.
72. That's,
yeah,
I would have been a freshman in college.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. That's when I joined. I think I was about 19 or 20. I'll tell you interesting how I got to ACB. And I'm not one that is an NFB basher, but this does have to do with the NFB. I heard about this organization in Boston, and it was the NFB of Massachusetts. I thought, oh, wonder what that's about. So I was going to college.
Where'd you go to school?
At that point, I started out at Boston State, and then I transferred to Boston College.
Okay, cool.
So I think I was still at State at that point. Because at first I was going to be a teacher.
Yep. Yep.
That's gone. No way. So they had a meeting near the campus.
Right.
So I thought, well, I'm going to go. So I had a tape recorder back in the day, you know, cassette recorders were, you know, a foot long and they weighed 5 pounds and,
oh,
you know,
yeah, and the battery lasted maybe half an hour.
Yeah,
if you were
half
lucky.
An hour. If,
yep,
you were lucky.
If you were lucky. Yep.
And so I was also, we had going in Massachusetts then the Blind Leadership Club of Boston. And we weren't affiliated with anyone.
Now, so were you born in the Boston
area? I was, yep. I was born in Boston.
Born in Boston.
I was born in Boston. I was brought up in Revere.
In Revere.
I went to North Reading High School.
So you knew the beach back in the day where they still
roller coaster.
Yeah, they still had part of the Midway there.
Yes, the wooden roller coaster.
I used to love that. I was so upset when they ripped all that stuff down.
Well, you know, I just recently was back there to visit our dear friend Marcia Marcia Dresser before she left us. And so my brother came and picked me up, and we went to this roast beef sandwich place. And
Kelly's.
Yes, that's right, Kelly's.
Kelly's,
And so I went to the ladies' room, and I came out. My brother still has his Boston accent. I've been away for so long, I don't really have it very much anymore. But he said, "Marlena, come here." I said, "What?" He said, "I want you to look at this." And I said, "What?" He said, "Look, these are the flying horses we used to ride on when we were kids." And now, if you don't know what a flying horse is, you're not from Boston.
I love it.
A flying horse is a carousel horse.
Yeah, I love it.
So anyway, how did we get here?
Well, we were talking about...
Have we been smoking something? I'm not sure what's going on.
I don't know, but I don't know about you. I'm getting the munchies.
So. I know. It's all that healthy food.
We're talking about this NFP meeting.
Okay,
and then, of course, I sent you down a totally different path.
You
know, that's just what happens when
you sit
and you talk to me. You know?
You need to attach a GPS to your mouth.
That'll be a good promo sound bite.
There you go. Please feel free.
go ahead. I'm listening. Okay. I'll shut up. You tell the story.
All right, you shut up. I'll tell the story.
Yeah, tell the story.
So I went.
Told me to shut up.
I did, and do it. Because don't forget, I know how to stream too, and I'll push your button.
There you go.
So I had also been. You know, meeting with the Blind Leadership Club of Boston and people like Charlie Crawford and, you know, folks like that, where we were trying to figure our way around. And I thought, well, I'm going to go see about this NFB thing. I don't know what it is. And so I went, and they were very angry because I had a tape recorder. And I said, well, look, you guys, I just came from school. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go home. And they wouldn't let me stay.
Wow.
Because they were sure that I was going to record their meeting and bring it back and play it.
They thought you were a spy.
So they thought I was a spy.
Oh, wow.
Do I look like a spy? Don't answer that.
You might have back then.
I probably did. I was a pretty hippie woman.
Oh, you're another one of these. I'm meeting hippies all over
the
place. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I was a hippie. Yep. I was a... Yep. Marched in the civil rights marches. And
You didn't do Woodstock, though, did you?
You know, I almost did. I almost did. But I couldn't because I could not... I was working a job back then, that a very temporary job, but it paid a lot of money that I needed for school, and I couldn't get the time. So there you went.
Nope.
So, but I would have. I totally would have. I don't know if any of your listeners or you are folkies, but and would know the name Phil Oakes.
Oh yeah, I know that very well.
Phil Oakes taught me how to play my first three chords on a guitar.
Oh, fantastic!
Years and years ago.
Wow.
So yeah,
wow.
So that's where I'm from. So
wow.
So anyway, so then I joined. I was in Blind Leadership Club, and we were being quite seriously courted by ACB. And the more I learned about ACB, I just thought, you know, this is the organization I want, because it's pro choice. You can make your own choices. No one's telling you, oh, you should have this kind of cane, or right. oh, you don't need a guide dog, or right. you know, whatever. And you know,
you find your own way.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And when you need some people to help you find your way, the people are there. But you find your own way.
And you know, Rick, I'll tell you something. And I get sort of taken to task when I say this to some blind and low vision people, but that's okay. I really believe this. I would much rather have a blind person ask for someone to cut their meat in a restaurant than have that blind person sit there and watch the steak fall off the plate right. or the food go off the plate. Right. And, you know, it's dignity. Right. And however you need to work to always maintain your personal dignity, that is not my business.
Right. Exactly.
It's not my business. Right. Now, I don't have people cut my meat. Well, I do right now because I can't cut it because of my shoulder surgery. But, right. I mean, I cut my own meat, and that's okay. But if you don't cut your own meat, that's okay, too. You know,
You should have seen us last night. Brian and I went to...
Did you cut your meat?
We went to Lowry's, the prime rib.
Yeah.
You're giving me a perfect setup here, right?
So, and I did not know this.
Lowry's, the prime rib, it's a fantastic restaurant for prime rib, and the prime rib is so, so tender that you can literally cut it with a butter knife.
Mm.
I mean, they don't give you a steak knife. They just give you like a normal kitchen knife. And,
wow.
And oh, my God, it was just so good. So.
Oh, my gosh.
So when did you leave the Boston area?
Let's see. I left Boston, I think, 77.
When did you meet Marcia?
Oh, my gosh. I met Marcia... I was six and she was five.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I've known her for 60 years.
Wow.
Yeah. We went to the same school together.
Yeah.
The Emerson School in Malden, Massachusetts.
We lived in Malden for all my in-laws are from Medford.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yep,
Medford.
Off the Fellsway.
Off the Fellsway.
Off the Fellsway, yep.
Oh, you're making me homesick.
So when did you leave?
77. The reason that I left, I came, well, so I have to backtrack just a little. Probably in the spring of 76, I was very involved in coalition building in Massachusetts. And I don't know if it still exists, but there was the Massachusetts Coalition for Citizens with Disabilities. And a wonderful man who actually started the ride in Massachusetts, Tom O'Brien,
yep.
Was the head of that.
Yep.
So, and Tom was a wheelchair user. And I just got really fascinated about learning about other disabilities.
Right.
And so I was very, very involved in what we called back then the right to ride. And that was, of course, dealing with making public transportation wheelchair accessible.
Right.
And, of course, the ironic thing is now all these years later, I'm married to a wheelchair user.
Right.
So whoever would have thought that. But... So there was a big rally in Washington, D.C. For a product that I now know would have been a disaster, but I didn't know it back then, and neither did a lot of people know it back then, called the Trans Bus. And this was a bus that was made in Canada, and it was a low-floor bus.
Right.
And instead of a lift... It offered a ramp.
Right.
And so the problem, of course, which we now don't have today due to improvements in technology, but the problem back then was the low floor wasn't low enough.
Right.
And the ramp was so dang steep that,
right,
I mean,
right, right.
But you know, we didn't know about all that back
right.
then. So so I was invited to come to Washington, D.C. to participate in in this rally and to be present at a meeting with the chairman and CEO of General Motors.
Oh, wow.
Who was then Pete Estes.
Oh, wow.
So, okay, so I'm in this conference room on Capitol Hill, and I'm really nervous. Because I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know.
I just can't picture you ever.
I fool a lot of people.
Yeah, I just can't. Well, maybe back then.
So we're, you know, having this discussion, and I haven't said a word yet. I'm just going to listen, and I'll figure out what I can do after or whatever. And so Mr. Estes said something to the effect of, and I sort of quote, I can't say and I quote because I just said something to the effect of, but he said, even I could not navigate that ramp. And that just lit my wick like you couldn't. I put my hand up. And I was called on immediately, and I stood up, and I had a guide dog back then as well. And I said, sir, with all due respect to you, and I know you are a great and accomplished person, but if I walk up to you and I put a blindfold on you and I hand you this guide dog and you couldn't get out of the room because even you, the great Pete Estes, couldn't get out of the room with a guide dog. Does that mean guide dogs are no good? Well, his assistant jumped up and yelled at me and said, don't talk to him like that. And Mr. Estes said, sit down. She's got a point. So that was sort of my very first thing. And then he took me out on buses, Mr. Estes and I. We looked at several different buses, and then he wanted to know, should we put Braille on the armrest for bus stops? And I said, no, because you can list the bus stops, but they don't do you any good if you don't know that you're approaching one.
Right,
so
right.
So that was like my first big advocacy thing, and I was
scared.
Well,
you said this was back in 77?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was scared, and I mean, I have done crazy things like chain myself to a bus with other people.
Any pictures?
No.
That'd be a great picture to have now.
Wouldn't it be cool?
Brian just showed up. Here's a picture of Marlena chained to a bus.
Yeah, chained to a bus. Yeah.
I hope you chose to chain yourself to the back of the
Well, see, I was with a lot of these other PBA guys in wheelchairs, so they had all their iron frames around me, so I was okay.
You know the real irony out of this whole thing? The thing that I advocate for the most right now is the ride.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah.
I'm the vice chairman of the Access Advisory Committee at the T, and we're doing all kinds of stuff. So it's kind of interesting that you were there, you know, in the early days.
Yep. I was there when Tom O'Brien started the ride.
We're forever hearing the stories about back in the day when the ride first started. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. It was an amazing thing. And it was something that I was just going to say a name, and now I've forgotten the last name, so I won't say the name. But so many people with all disabilities, the Massachusetts Coalition of Citizens with Disabilities was just such a huge force back then, and you know we could get ourselves into Speaker McGee's office. He was the Speaker of the House back then. And, you know, I mean, we were heard.
Right.
We didn't always get what we wanted, but we knew that we were heard.
Right. So let's kind of fast forward a little bit.
Yeah.
When did you start getting involved with ACB Radio?
When ACB Radio started, pretty much.
Which was when?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. Like, okay, Larry, I know you're listening. Like around 99.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I heard.
That's kind of what I think. Yeah, Labor Day. I remember it was on Labor Day, and Jonathan Mosen started the first stream, which was the music stream, and then we went the interactive ACB Radio Interactive, and then we got Mainstream, and that's what really made me excited. And
did it light your wick?
It lit my wick in a good way, though.
There we go.
Not like Mr. Estes. No, no. Nothing about ACB could light my wick.
That's an expression I'm going to use now, Brian.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Watch out for Rick's wick.
Yeah. Rick and I are pretty much teetotalers. Dude. Get through that.
So my first, my first show on ACB Radio was called Blind Spot, and it was pre-recorded, started out as half-hour interviews, and oh my gosh, it was so, I was just, oh, when I first started doing it, I was just terrified, and I listen to those shows now, and I think, oh my God, why didn't anybody ever listen, because all I because you know, ACB Radio is a labor of love. It's work from the heart, and no one who comes on ACB Radio is necessarily a trained on-air talent. You know, right. So here now I listen back and I'm like, whoo, that's quite interesting.
It is fun to listen back to this.
But
I mean, we've got archives that go back to the beginning too. Yeah, those are fun.
It is. We got involved with this program called Spider Phone, and what that allowed was Jonathan Mosen, who was still our what we now call director of ACB Radio, could actually take phone calls on the web. This right. was like the, you know, pre-Skype and pre-VoIP.
Yeah, sure.
So he had three lines. So he talked me into, oh my God, he talked me into doing a live call-in show for an hour.
Wow.
And he would do all the spider phone stuff and
so you were the predecessor to Tuesday Topics, huh?
Yeah. I was on probably 2 years before Tuesday Topics. So
what type of topics did you cover on this show?
I always wanted to feature blind people.
Okay.
And the most memorable interview from that show is when I had the pleasure of interviewing Eric Weinmeier, climber. And
sure.
Boy, the calls just kept coming in, and it was supposed to be an hour show. And Jonathan said, I'm going to break in here. Eric, do you have the time to stay? And he said, sure. And he said, Marlena? I said, well, sure. And so we were on the air for like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Wow. Eric's like, a cool guy.
Yeah, my God. And it was so cool because one of the things I asked him was, what does it sound like up there?
Right.
You know what?
Sure.
I mean, of course, there's wind and stuff, but there's no trees.
Right.
You know, so what? How does the sound differ? Anyway, I'm digressing.
Have I been doing a good job shutting up?
And you know, you really have. Does Brian know about your shut up button?
No, she told me to shut up, Brian. So I haven't had to say anything since. So.
I know.
So keep going.
Okay. So
this 15-minute interview has already gone 45 minutes.
I know. And there's food next door, and I want to go. So
we'll stay on as long as you want to stay on, Marlena. This is a privilege.
Oh, okay.
To have this opportunity.
You're fun. Okay. All right. So. I'm getting there. Does Brian have a shut up button?
Not often. You got to go looking for it.
Well, I better not do that.
No.
So then I stopped Blind Spot for a little while. You do get burned out when you're doing interview shows week after week and you can't find people. It's like, oh,
right.
So I stopped it for a while. So then Dave Williams came along as the ACB radio director. And I was doing some stuff on interactive. I've done, I don't know, I think three different or four different shows on Interactive. I've done The Nightlight, which you might recognize that title, Rick. WBZ.
Oh, yeah.
Dick Summer.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Dick
yeah.
Summer was a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah.
And so I tracked him down, and I told him about ACB Radio, and I said, I want to do a show called The Nightlight. Will you allow me to do it? And he said, it'd be my honor. So I did, and that was a show. It was at night, obviously. It was a sort of a very soft, mellow show. And by this time, I had a phone patch. And two lines. And so I could take phone calls.
Let me get this right. Middle of the night, you're playing soft, mellow
yes,
music.
Yes, yes. And I'm encouraging people to call me and, you know, talk about how you're feeling and stuff. And people would do it. You know, blind people never sleep. I mean,
I bet you had some interesting phone calls.
Oh, boy. I had some very touching phone calls, too. And, oh, God. And then there was the night that, oh, God. One of our former broadcasters, Jim Pemberton, got dropped off at the wrong house by this taxi cab. And he was supposed to follow me, and I'm waiting, and there's no, because back then we would instant message each other and say, okay, I'm here, I'm ready to go. And so we tried to keep the stream, you know, pretty even. And right. So I'm waiting, and there's no message, and there's no so I'm thinking, okay. And I had a huge library back then of weird and wacko sound effects that I could just catch at a second's notice. So Pemberton finally calls me on the line, on the phone patch, and he said, I'm here. Well, I instantly grabbed a sound effect that went something like, and I said, what happened? Well, he goes into telling this story about, okay, you know, I'm in Illinois, and it's 15 degrees, and I grab a sound effect, and he's going on and telling this whole story about how this cab driver lets him off at the wrong place, but he doesn't know it's the wrong place until he starts walking up the walk, and then he discovers this isn't my walk, yeah. And what am I going to do? He didn't have cell phones back then.
That cracks in the wrong place.
Yes, yes. So he goes up and he knocks on the door of this strange house, and I had this very British voice say, now I can't remember the quote, it was a good time, it was a bad time, it was a day of joy, it was a day of sadness. So Jim says, this guy opened the door and he said, who are you and what do you want? And when he said he knocked on the door, I had a ding-dong doorbell. And Jim doesn't know all this is going on because he can't hear it. So we went through this whole thing. It was the most hysterical thing that I've done on the air, except for the day on Christmas Day when my phone line rang. I picked it up. I said, hi, you're with Marlena. Merry Christmas from ACB Radio. Mm-hmm. And this guy said, hello? And I said, hi. And I said it again. And he said, oh, I think I have the wrong number. I said, oh, that's okay. I said, are you having a great Christmas? He said, well, yeah. He said, well, how about you? I said, I'm having a wonderful Christmas. I got the guy to tell me what he got for Christmas and what he had for dinner. And then he said, well, I guess I'll hang up now. I said, bye. Merry Christmas.
It's amazing when people tell you that.
I know.
When Brian and I, this is a God true story. Brian and I are going through the airport the other day in L.A. So I go to McDonald's and I order some Coke. And I said to the woman, I said, has it been a long day? And she said, yeah, it's been this was Valentine's Day. She goes, it's been a really long day. I said, really? What, you know, how's that? She said, well, I spent the whole morning in the bathroom crying.
Oh,
now,
dear.
It's like, you know, it's like, well, I'm sorry.
What the heck do you say to that?
I mean, what is it about my face that makes people just want to say this kind of stuff to you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but anyways.
All right. And so just to wrap it up, because I am sort of going on and on.
So you're hungry?
I am hungry, okay. Yes. The most, excuse me, the most thrilling, exciting, and frightening interview I ever did.
Before this one.
Yeah, before this one. This one may knock me off the radio for the rest of my life. was my interview with Ronnie Millsap. And Ronnie and I have become good friends. We call each other, you know, I mean, it's
well,
just...
how come you can't get him at a damn ACB convention?
Well, I have tried, and I keep trying, and I shall keep trying.
Okay.
Yeah, next time he calls me and asks me a technology question, I'll say, I'll answer that.
Wouldn't that be cool to have him walk in the middle of FIA?
Oh, gosh, I know. Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be so neat.
I know. But, so... how that came about, because I'm sure that you would ask me that question. I've really been a Ronnie Millsap fan for a lot of years and always hoped, you know, oh, maybe someday I can meet him, blah, 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 blah. So I went into the technology industry for work, worked for HumanWare for several years, and as a result, got to know the late Clarence Whaley, who used to work at what was, gosh, there's a lot of Eustas in here, GW Micro. And I knew that Clarence had gone to school with Ronnie Millsap. And so I picked up the phone one day and I said, Clarence, could you ask Ronnie Millsap if he would come on my show? And so I just let it go at that. And about a week later, I get a phone call. Marlena, this is Ronnie Millsap. Well, after I picked myself up off the floor, he started going on about all the shows I've done. He was like a listener. And I didn't know Ronnie Millsap listened to my shows. So for 3 years, I think it was three, every Easter Sunday... Nisha, get over here. Every Easter Sunday, Ronnie would come on my show because my show was on Sunday nights.
Cool.
And yeah, that was, if I ever have to say thank you, ACB Radio, for anything, I would say it for that honor of meeting him and getting to know him as a friend. So,
yeah, well, ACB Radio has meant a lot to a lot of us and still does. It's fun. You know, it's a lot of friendships grow up around ACB Radio.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah,
so.
And there's not anyone involved in it who doesn't love it and do it from the heart. You know, and I mean, sometimes, you know, as we know, as folks who kind of look at it from the management aspect, sometimes there's bumps and there's bruises and there's, but boy, nobody is there for anything but the right reason.
Right.
So it's a great project, and if anyone listening would ever like to become involved, you don't have to go on the air. We have a lot of work that can be done off the air. Marketing, we need people to help with marketing. We need people to help with production if you have the skill and ability to produce audio content. We need that.
Have you heard the latest spot for the Yin Yang Show?
Yes, yes.
We do use outhouses.
Yes. Yes. I don't even want to think about...
Actually, if you listen to the show tomorrow night, see, tomorrow night is the replay of the New Year's Eve show.
I couldn't go through that again.
And it was all from that show.
Oh, my God.
All those things got picked up.
Oh, my God.
So
that's what I know.
Well, hey, you know, thank you so much for spending the time with us, and enjoy your time. How long? When are you going back?
I'm going back Friday morning.
Yeah, cool.
So maybe we can get together, you guys, and
create havoc.
Yes, Brian, I released your shut up button. You were very good. You were very good.
But you did cue her on Ronnie Millsap, so that's good.
That's right.
So we got that in.
That's right.
But Marlena, thank you so much. Marlena has been a very instrumental part in ACB Radio for many, many years, still is. And it's been my pleasure and my honor to be able to spend some time with you and have this interview, have some laughs, too.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. All I got to do now is get those pictures and we'll be all set.
Thank God there was no YouTube back then.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Marlena. Hey, everybody. This is ACB Radio Live Event. We're at the RSVA conference and the Sagebrush conference that goes on till Friday this week. Right now, the exhibitors are showing their wares in the exhibit hall.
And they have food.
And they've got food. So Marlena's going to go over and get us some.
Excuse me. I thought that was Brian's job.
So, anyways, see you, Nisha.
She said, no, I'm not ready to go yet.
She's not ready to go yet, huh? So, anyways, we're gonna just sign off here for a few minutes. And do you know when we're expecting an interview, Brian? 2:15. Okay, so we'll be back around 2:15. And again, if you don't catch any of this live, all this will be available via archive. We've definitely got some very good sound bites we're going to use against Marlena now.
Hey.
So we can piece together quite.
I'm never going to get out of here. My dog refuses to leave. She's having such a good time with you, Rick.
She knows a good place.
Let's see. No, there we go. There we go. She's stepping over. Okay.
There's something about me in service animals.
Ah, there we go. Shoo. Okay, we're out of jail. Bye.
See you later. Bye. God.
All right. Nisha.
Handcuffed to a bus.
Oh. Yes, sir.
No. Okay, everybody, we'll be back around 2:15. Thanks for listening, everyone. And again, look for the archives on acbradio.org. My name is Rick Morin. Brian Charlson is here, and we will be here later on with some vendor interviews around 2:15. And then back tomorrow around 9 o'clock in the morning for more general session. Tomorrow at lunchtime is when Marlene is going to give her speech. And as you heard, she's going to change the topic a little bit from what they put in the program. So that'll be kind of fun. So it won't be the only thing that has changed here during the course of this conference for sure. So, again, thanks for listening, everybody. And by the way, if you have any questions that you'd like us on, ask on your behalf to any of the people that are presenting here. We should have done this earlier this week, but we actually had some people email us some questions to ask of the speakers, and we'd be very happy to do that for you. Just feel free to email them to brian.charlson@carol.org. That's CARROLL.org, and we'll try to get those questions asked for you. And again, those of you listening to us, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you in a little bit.